left off yesterday, we're discussing the issue that most of the Rishonim are raising about how does Ravoy play out for us, those who live in Chutz Laretz. Is there an issue of Ravoy? Not an issue of Ravoy. Do we have to be concerned with the fourth year fruit or not? So it all started with the assumption that Orla does apply in Chutz Laretz. That's a special halacha Moshe Sinai, even though it should have been a mitzvah tluy of Aretz, but it's an exception to the rule. And Tosfos is assuming that if Orla applies, and Ravoy also applies. It's all part of the same basic din, same basic parasha. So Ravoy, in theory, should start. The baseline is that Ravoy should start in Chutz Laretz. The only issue is, says Tosfos, that we have a right to be mekel and only shailas of Ravoy that come up, because we tend to be very, very mekel in Chutz Laretz. The Gemara says, called a mekel, the Aretz, Alach HaMais, the Chutz Laretz, and all of these shailas. So anytime we have any machlokes about whether there's a shail of Ravoy, in Eretz Yisrael will be mach, in Chutz Laretz will be mekel. So a good example of this is Ravoy and other fruit trees. So is there a problem with Ravoy and other fruit trees? That's a big, big, big machlokes. Even though we had a Mishnah that says yes by Esrog, so Tosfos has already pointed out in condition of Gimel that the fact that there are some Tanoim hold that way, we know there's some Tanoim. It was an old Machlekes Tanoim, or it's been around for hundreds, thousands of years, this Machlekes. So in Eretz Yisroel, we're Machmer, and we observe Ravoy in all fruit trees, and in Chutz Laretz, we have a right to be Mekel. The only exception is grapes. Is there Ravoy in grapes? Tosfos says absolutely. Whether that means a full vineyard or a single grapes, that was a technical machlokes. But grapes, yes. Other fruit trees, basically not. And what led Tosfos and the Shiltis and other Rishonim down this path was that Gemara that we spoke about yesterday, Masechas Brachos, about the tzlaf, about the caper bush, they call a mekel ba'aretz, not kamoisi b'chutz laretz. So comes Rabbi Yonah on the 7th of the Mar Makamos, back of the page, the 7th of the Mar Makamos. And quotes the conventional wisdom of everyone we've set up to now holds that Ravoy doesn't apply to apples and oranges in Chutz Laretz because Halach can make up a Chutz Laretz. And comes Rabbi Yonah and throws a curveball at us. So we take a look at the end of the third line of our Rabbi Yitzchak HaZokin Zal Haya Omer, that quotes from the Ri, one of the Balei Tosfos, that the Ri used to say, Shazu Ein Araya. We could make the following. We could say, he said, that klal that we thought yesterday was a klal gadol, it was an absolute, the ironclad principle that, you know, under all circumstances, always, always, always lenient and chutz laretz, and all the shailas of Orla and Ravoy. It's not true, says the Ri. He says, if you look in the Gemara, there's only one place that it appears. Kol makom, all places. Nah, it's in one place in the sugi about caper bushes. Im noig ba'or lo shnekel Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva omishen noig ba'ol el bevyanis bavad. Rabbi Akiva's view was that it only applies to the fruit and not to the peels and the back and forth and back and forth that we spoke about be'arichas yesterday. But the bottom line is everything else. As if you skip down to the couple of lines down to the seventh line, the last two words of al bishar mili loz din lekula. Says the Ri and Sefer Ben Yonah that this klal is not as big a klal as we thought it was. That there is no absolute rule called a mekel or kulas in chutz laretz. It's not true. Only when the Gemara tells us. It's not a general klal.
The reasoning is essential of
something like the rice. Oh, we're getting there. What the Ri's talking about. We're going to get to it in a moment. So we have now a machloikis that's developing in front of us, which is relevant, first and foremost, in terms of Ravoy and Chutz Laretz, but it's going to spill over very quickly to other cases as well. Namely, is there an absolute klal called, well, everything is the kula in Chutz Laretz? I don't mean Hilchos Shabbos and Kashrus. I mean Hilchos Mitzvot Lo'is Baretz. Any Shabbos and Orla, Ravoy, etc. is an automatic green light. Everything is the kula. Any sheet that's matir, we're matir. That's what Tosfos held. And we say no, like Rabbeinu Yonah, we're in the Ri and say not so simple. Where the Gemara says it works, where the Gemara doesn't say it doesn't work, and we have no right to extrapolate from one case to another. Do we have any rayas one way or the other? So a lot of this discussion revolves around a very cryptic Gemara in the sixth of the Mar Makom. Let's back up one Mar Makom. The Gemara tells a story that once a few Amoraim were walking in Chutz Laretz, it was in Bavel, the story. Vesuchazu, in the sixth of the Mar Makom, is a Kedushin Lametes Melav. Vesuchazu, Lao Gavra, the Kazara Chiti Vesar Be Gufni. They saw a person planting wheat and barley next to grapes. Doesn't sound too good. That sounds like the Isser of Kiliyah Kerem. Now the Gemara says that the prohibitions of Kiliyah Kerem also apply in Chutz Laretz, even though this should have also been a mitzvah tluy baretz. This is also an exception to the rule, but this is only an exception midirabbanan. But Lamai says an Isser of Kiliyah Kerem in Chutz Laretz. So here the Amoraim saw this fellow who was outright violent. He was taking wheat and barley and planting it next to the grave. Can't get worse kelekev than that. So Amalei, so one of the Amorim said to another, Nesim out of the Shamte, let's put this person at the Cherim. He's doing this terrible Averis, planting Kilakarim. Let's punish him. So Amalei, no, Lotzari. So he says, no, it's not so clear what you're saying. Lo Kaimalon Krabiyeshia, the Amat Shizra Chitos Ur Vachatzim Apolis Yad. Don't we follow the view of Rabbi Yeshia? Rabbi Yoshua was a Tani Yapadav, a very, very big kula in Uchas Kiliakarim. He said that the violation of Kiliakarim is only violated if you plant all three together. Remember, should one shot. You take in one handful, Velis Yad, take one hand a wheat seed and a barley seed and a grape seed, and you throw them all into the ground together. That's just Kiliakarim. If you already had grapes growing, and now you walk over to a pre-existing vineyard and you throw some chitim and sarim in there, that's not an issur kilei kerem. A chiddush gadol of Rabbi Yoshia. It's such a chiddush Rabbi Yoshia that almost nobody else held that way. But the Gemara says in Maseches Chulin that we follow Rabbi Yoshia. That this is one of the strange cases where the Gemara says the Gemara singles out three cases of shailas, which there was really a Das Yochid involved. Most of the Tanaim held one way. Another Tana, one Tana, a lone Tana disagreed. And the Gemara says, that's the din that we follow. For whatever reason, that became the din, that we followed that one lone Tana, that Shittas Yochid Rabbi Yoshia. So when the Gemara was explaining why we don't have to punish the person for, quote-unquote, violating Kilei Kerem, so the answer was given because, after all, we follow Rabbi Yoshia. So Rabbeinu Yonah wanted to bring a raya to support the view that there is no absolute klal called halacha kemeikah b'chutz laretz. What was the raya? Why did the Gemara have to say kaimalon k'Rabbi Yoshia? Why did the Gemara have to say the only reason why this guy got off the hook is because Baruch Hashem we paskin in Shulchan Aruch like Rabbi Yoshia? Even if we didn't paskin quote unquote like Rabbi Yoshia, this was chutz laretz and chutz laretz everything's okay. Chutz laretz halacha divya meikah b'avil. I'm sorry, halacha divya meikah b'chutz laretz. It's another klal, but it's really in the morning. So the comes Rabbi Yonah and says, so the fact that the Gemara bent over backwards went out of its way to say halacha k'Rabbi Yoshia, that implies that if not for the fact that there was a halacha psuka, there was an outright clear cut psak like Rabbi Yoshia, even in Eretz Yisrael, if not for the fact that there's a clear cut psak like Rabbi Yoshia, we would not have been comfortable being mekel, even though this was chutz laretz. What do you see from here, says Rabbi Yonah, that there is no absolute rule called halacha k'Rabbi mekel b'chutz laretz. No such thing. I had the Gemara said it. The Gemara said it one case. One Gemara in all of Shas and Brachas, the sixth Brach said it. We have no right to extrapolate the other case. That was Rabbi Yonah's raya. What would everybody else say to reject this raya? So l'chor, all the other Rishonim would say, they don't understand the raya to start with. So the Gemara is saying what the truth was. The truth was, Kaimalan, K'Rabbi Yoshia. It happens to also be that even if the halacha wouldn't have been like Rabbi Yoshia, we still could have kvetched it out over here because it was chutz laretz, and chutz laretz could be mekel. The fact that the Gemara told us the truth, so we can make a deal from the fact that the Gemara told us the truth. The Gemara just said that kind of like Rabbi Yoshia, that halacha happens to be like Rabbi Yoshia, which would be helpful here. True, it's not necessary to be an outright quote unquote psak like Rabbi Yoshia, but that is the emes. So the Gemara said what the emes is. Can't have a time the Gemara saying what the emes is. So when all the dust settles, this Gemara and Kedushin can really go either way. Rabbi Yonah saw in this a raya for his shita, and the other Rishonim would clearly deflect this raya. But the question really is, what's the issue? What's the conceptual issue? We can pilk back and forth with the rayas from Lamar. What's the conceptual issue? Why should we say that there's an absolute rule called halacha k'divrei hamekel b'chutz laretz? That's the way Taisus and the Shultus and the Ramban and all the other Rishonim said. Or why should we take the much more limited scope and say, nope, it's where the Gemara says it. It says it. Gemara doesn't say it. Doesn't say it. And we have no right. We have no right to extrapolate. So what's pshat? What are they really arguing? What's the root of the real machlokes? So the Chora, there are really two different ways of understanding what the nature of this principle is. You know, we have in only one place it appears explicitly in the Gemara. The rap purpose is so the Gemara says that there's machlokes in Eretz Yisrael. And a chutz laretz, we have a right to be mekel. So we have to ask ourselves a question. What's the nature of that statement? It's a very, very bizarre statement, a very strange statement. If oil applies in chutz laretz, so why do the rules change? What kind of klal is that? So one can understand the statement one of two ways. We know that there are a lot of klali ha-psak that appear in Shas. The Gemara is a whole sugya, almost an amud long, almost as an Erevin, that lay out for us pretty much all the Klali Apsak, most of the Klali Apsak. You know, if somebody machleks it, Rabbeinu said this, Rabbeinu said this, Abai said this, Rabbeinu said this, Rabbeinu said this, Rabbeinu said this, how do you know what to do? How do you pass it? So the Amorim set up for us, with Kaveh for us, a whole series of Klali Apsak. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Halacha, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Halacha, Rabbi Yossi, Abai V'Rav, Halacha, Rav, Chutz B'Yal Kagam, you know, Rav Acha, Rav Yehuda, Halacha, Dibir, Mekim, Chutz B'Tah, you can rattle off the whole Amun and Masechus Erevin, all the different Klali Apsak. Where did these Klom come from? Who made the Klom? So that's not a big Pella. How did the Amorim figure out all these Klom? The Chavis Yar writes in the Tshuva that he has no idea. How do you know Abai against Rav? How do you know Rav and Shvah? I don't know, but somehow Chazal figured it out based on maybe Rav Chachm Yisrael, based on their deeper understandings. I don't know. I'm not sure what the answer is, but there are Klali Apsach and Halacha. There's no question. Those are the Klali Apsach that govern Halacha Maizad Ayyam Mezah. So what is the nature of this quote-unquote statement of Chazal that Kol HaMegim Arat Halacha Maizad Chutz Laretz? Is this a Klali Apsach? Is this one of those halachas that it's almost like halacha rava against Abai, except for the Yal Chagams? It's almost like halacha rav v'isuri k'shmo b'mamone. It's almost like halacha k'rabi Akiva b'chavei rav lo b'chavei rav. Is it one of those? Is it one of these? The halacha divrei make up. Avil halacha divrei. Right. We have a few of those. Is this a klali? Is that really what this is? That this is one of those klali apsak that in shailas that come in chutz laretz somehow for some deep dark mysterious reason the neretz omach ben chutz laretz omekel. Is that really what it's all about? Is that the pshat, or is this something much deeper than that? The Gemara tells us in Maseches Kedushin that there was a halacha l'Moshe Mesinai that Orla is also in Chutz Laretz. It really boggles the mind because Orla should not have been also in Chutz Laretz. It says Mechumash Ki Savoy La'aretz. It's a classic mitzvah l'Moshe. It's hard to get more agricultural than Orla. So based on our simple understanding of halacha, Orla should not have applied Chutz Laretz bechlal. And yet the Mishnah says, Orla noig b'chutz laretz, and the Gemara explains it's halacha l'moshe mesinai. So the Gemara asks a bomb kasha on that. The Gemara quotes a braisa that says that if a person has a suffolk, whether something is oral or not, so it's okay. And Eretz Yisrael, it's also. And chutz laretz, it's okay. You're allowed to eat suffolk oral as chutz laretz. Not only are you allowed to eat suffolk oral as chutz laretz, the Gemara has quite a statement. The Gemara says that you don't even have to look to find out whether it is oral or not, even if it's easily attainable. Even if you can get the information in a second, just make a phone call. You know, check online and see what is free group. You don't have to look. You don't have to make any inquiries whatsoever. Kolzman, you don't know that it's aser. It's mutter. Everything's mutter to prove an aser until you know for certain that it's aser. It's a very, very strange din, different from just about all other areas of halacha. Suffolk, all the chutz laretz is totally, completely mutter. The Gemara tells a story that one of the Amoraim had a goyish neighbor. The goyish neighbor was bringing him fruit. And the Amor knew that there was some of the fruit of the goy was orla. He knew that he had planted a couple of new trees in the last couple of years. He knew some fruit was orla, and he didn't bother asking the goy whether it was orla or not. Is that the goy? You're not mechuyev to ask. But the Avi Uvda had the same shali. We lived in Paramus, so we had a next door neighbor, a Goyishan next neighbor, very, very friendly people. And they had planted, they used to give us their vegetables in their garden, and they had planted these bushes, and they had these berries. Berry paper bush. I don't know if it's love. It was a shal of orla. Bushes are like trees. The shalas of orla. So they were bringing us berries. I didn't know which bushes they were coming from. They said some of them were new, some of them were old. I'm not going to ask. Het the gomer. If the guy would have said to me, "Oh, these are taste my new bushes. I just planted this bush last year, and these are," then it's awesome enough Torah to eat it. But calls about the guy doesn't. But first, you calls about the guy doesn't tell you. Well, you don't know. You're not mechuyev to ask. That's strange. I'm what the din. That's the din. So the Gemara asks a question, how does that make any sense? How could it be suffik orlus chutzlaretz? Mutas chadis deraisa. If you have suffik chaza, so it's okay. Chalila, suffik deraisa l'chumra. So how can you say suffik orlus mutter? If orlus chutzlaretz is a deraisa, it's halacha moshe mesinai, how could it be that's mutter? So the Gemara says that this question was posed to one of the Amoraim. And the Gemara has a very strange lashon. The Gemara says, yishtoimim kishochado. It means he was quiet for an hour. He had to think about this for an hour. And after thinking about it for an hour, he said, there's only one way to explain this phenomenon. It doesn't make any sense. Kach nemra halacha, vado osar, sveka mutter. He said, it must have been that this was part of the halacha Moshe Mesinai. That there were two stages, there were two parts of halacha Moshe Mesinai. One is that orlas chutz laretz is also, which again,
it doesn't make any sense to us because it's a mitzvah tluy ba'aretz, but mevatel that teira to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the second half of the halacha Moshe Sinai was that, by the way, even though this is a deraisa, by the way, guess what? Suffolk is mutter, and such a suffolk is mutter. It's different from all other spakers. You're not even mechuv to be mevar in the suffolk. What you don't know doesn't hurt you in Olus Chutz Lartz. That's the way. There's no logical way to explain away neither the Yisrael or the Heter. So you have to say, Kach nemer halacha, vado aser, speka mutter. That's what we pask in halacha. Vado aser, and speka is mutter. The poskim have a fascinating discussion. I've had this shayl already, it's been three or four times over the years, about different shayls of suffik or los chutz laretz. Poskim say, let's say it's a type of a suffik, that it's almost like a suffik of a lack of a kiyas. That means if I would be an expert, if I would have enough information, so I would be able to figure out it, but I happen not to know. I don't know the facts. If I look online, if I call someone who knows something about the topic, so then it would I could figure out the facts. You're not mechuyav to do that either. My nafkamin ladina, it's not an uncommon child at all, especially in the warmer climates. So a lot of people would like to plant, and when they plant trees, so usually most guys don't start Johnny Appleseed, start planting a tree from scratch. They usually take off of other pre-existing trees. They go to the tree nurseries and they buy these branches. They buy these potted plants, all kind of stuff, and they put it into their backyard. And then after a year, so it starts to grow fruit. So the shaila is that oral or not? Is not suffering oil anymore? I know, I bought it. I know exactly. It's 1 year old. But the question is it still part of the old cheshbon because it's coming from a tree that already existed? So there's a mishnah, Maseches Oil, that says it depends. Usually they give you like a little part of the tree with some soil connected to it. So the mishnah says that if that tree has enough soil with it that it could potentially produce fruit the way it is, so then that's considered to be just an extension of the previous tree. If they give you such a small amount of a tree with soil that unless you mamash replant, nothing's going to happen, so then that's not that's considered to be a brand new plant. So the Pesach Tshuva Nuchas Orla quotes a shayla. A guy gets one of these little saplings or something, and he replants it. He has no idea. He's not holding. He's not a body. He doesn't know his botany. He has no clue what the facts are. Would it have grown with this amount of soil? Not without the chmeis. I have no clue. So the Pesach Tshuva quotes some poskim and say that's called a suffik. That's called a suffik. Well, it's chutz laretz. It's a suffik whether you have a problem of oil or not. It's not just a case of a suffik. I don't know when. Whether the goy planted this bush last year or 5 years ago. This is a suffik. I know all the facts. I know that this tree originally is 20 years old. I know that this piece was taken off the tree, and I have no idea whether it could survive on its own or not. So I don't know what they did and I don't know what the facts are. In theory, if I looked online and I checked all the experts and I went to a class in university about botany, the reason I said that because the Karban Eidav wrote a Perush on the Rishalmi. He was a Rav in Berlin in the 1700s. He wrote one of the famous Perushim on the Rishalmi. But the problem was when he was writing Seder Zeraim, he didn't know anything about botany, he didn't know anything about agriculture. So he was upset. He was a Rav. This was pre-Haskalah days. So he was a Rav in Berlin. He enrolled in a class in the university in Berlin about botany and agriculture in order to be able to write through a shaman. So it's an 80-year-old Rav sitting with his long coat in the back of the class. This is pre-Taramadim, before it was on the radar screen. That's how he went to university. So anyway, so in theory, if I did enough research, I could probably figure out what the answer is to this question. So Piskachu says, I'm a chuyif to do the research. He said, Safik Olam Schutz Lartz is about to be finished. Somebody asked me shayla a few months ago, and I had shayla more than once, this particular shayla, the Poskim Meikel. I said, that's all considered to be Safik Olam Schutz Lartz. Anyway, get back to the story. So there's a special halacha Moshe Messina called Suffolk Olus Chutz Lartz is Mutter. So the question is, this din that call a Mekel Ba'aretz Lachemais B'Chutz Lartz, is that an extension of Suffolk Olus Chutz Lartz? Is the reason for this klal, because ultimately that's called the Suffolk. Whenever there's one sheet that it says it's Mutter, that's a Suffolk. So is that the source for the rule or not? So if the source of the rule of Kol HaMeikel Ba'aretz Halacha Muslim is a psak, is a Taras psak, it's one of the Piskei Halachos of the Amoraim that we don't really understand, that's one way of understanding it. But then we say, no, this is not part of the world of psak halacha. This is no different than the guy who has no idea which bush it came from. This is no different than the guy who doesn't know whether there's enough soil in his potted plant or not. This is part of the regular rule of false fakes in Hilchos Orla, and Chutz La'aretz always go l'kula. So there is a Ran in Maseches Kedushin, where the Ran writes that what would the din be if you have, let's say you have a suffik in Hilchos Orla, you're not sure whether it's Orla or not, but it's not a 50-50 suffik. to 95 to 5 suffix that it probably is Orla. Most probably the Rove dictates that it is Orla. So the Ran says it's still mutter. He says, I'll bring you a raya. Why is it still mutter? The Gemara says that even if it's yochid neged harabim, even if it's one against the majority, says the Ran, this klal of kol ha-meikah ba'aretz lacha mos b'chutz la'aretz is just an extension of the rule of safek olos chutz la'aretz. It's the same klal, the Ran says, it's an identical klal. So just as the Gemara says it applies by yochid neged harabim, so too it applies when you have there's a 95% chance that's also, let's say I know that the goy brings me his berries, and I know he's got 10 bushes in there. 9 of them were a trade for bushes. 9 of them are orla bushes, and 1 of them is a kosher bushes. It's an old bush. So the din is, it's not mutter, says the Ran. I have a robe, it doesn't matter. That's still considered to be a suffix. So you see from the Ran, that the Ran clearly learned that this klal of kol ha-meikah ba'aretz lacha mos b'chutz la'aretz is related to the din of suffix orla. It's not related, it's identical to the din of suffix orla. So now, getting back to our story. So we raise the question, we have a machlokes rishayim between Tosfos and Rabbeinu Yonah, whether this is an absolute klal, so it only applies when the Gemara says it. If you hold that this is part of the rule of suffik or chutz la'aretz being mutter, of course it applies all the time. This is the din klali called all sfeikas and all legolakula. So only because the Gemara told us, any case that comes up, you have any crazy shayla, you have a shayla, whether there's a revoy on other fruit, so you have a personal shayla, good, so plug in the rule. Suffik olos chutz la'aretz is about to finish. But according to Ben Yonah, this is not part of the din of suffik olos chutz la'aretz. This is not really a suffix. This is a machlokes. This is a different type of halacha. Why is it mutter? Why is it called a mikvah? It's not chamos chutz la'aretz. It's one of the klali apsach. When Chazal told it to us. According to Ben Yonah, Chazal only told it to us in case X, Y, and Z, not an A, B, and C. We have no right to extrapolate to every single case. But Chazal said that it's true. So somehow, somewhere, we don't understand it, but we know that it's true. For us to go and take it and go running with it and start plugging it into other cases, we have a right to do so. So the Chayre, this machlekes, have we shown him whether we have a right to be makil. Any shah that comes up in chutz la'aretz, you name it, we're going to follow any das yachid, any sheet, any tan, any yama, anybody in chutz la'aretz, any shah whatsoever. So if you hold that the klal of halakha b'ayis b'chutz la'aretz is a corollary to suffik orla being mutter, then suffik orla is mutter all the time. Any suffik and orla is taka mutter. But if you hold that's not a corollary of suffik orla, it's a new din, it's based on one of the klali apsak are limited to what Chazal tell it to us. So, Tachlis, the bottom line is when all the dust settles, what is the status of these apples in chutz la'aretz? I have fourth year apples in chutz la'aretz. A real shayla maisa. People have asked the shayla also, halacha maisa. What is it that I have fourth year fruit in chutz la'aretz? What do I do with it? I planted a tree. I know I observed orla. What do I do with my fourth year fruit? So comes Tosfos and says, enjoy it. You don't have to do anything about it. Comes Rabbeinu Yonah and says, don't enjoy it so fast. You have to treat it by Kedusha like Maisa Sheni. Namely, you have to redeem it. Put the coins aside. You're not going to Yerushalayim so fast. Save the coins for the end of the third or the sixth year of the Shemitah cycle. Then you have to destroy them. So how do you destroy the coins? So we spoke about this, I think, once before. How do you destroy coins at the end of the third and sixth year? So in the olden days, you used to throw them to the Yam HaMelech. What's the modern day equivalent of doing it? Anyone remember? No. We take them to the YU chemistry lab and we throw it into a test tube of hydrochloric acid. That's what we do. Every third and sixth year, we take all the Maaseh Sheni coins that I've collected throughout the course of the last couple of years. People buy produce from Costco. It's Maaseh Sheni. That's Tevel. You have to be Mafresh Maaseh Sheni. Got loads of coins floating around. We take all the coins, bring them up to the lab and throw them in. Every year we have our Seder. Rabbi Willick puts on his special chemistry lab goggles. And we toss in a couple of quarters or so, and goes up in smoke. That's the mitzvah beer, Maaseh Sheni. And I was interested in coming to see it. I think we got another 2 years or so till the next one. You ever see it? I don't know. Never got it? No, everyone ever see it? Okay, next time I'll try to remember to tell you in advance. Okay, if I got it on video at some, if I on the Wayu Torah somewhere. The only shayla that we had years ago, I remember, someone was aware of the fact that it may be illegal to do that because you're not allowed to destroy money. But the answer was given is that, you know, those penny machines that they make that you crush the penny and it also destroys the money. So why are those okay? So apparently I guess I was told that the only time it's usher to destroy money, only when it's kavanah lahashchis. If you're doing it as like an act, I want to like show my sin against the government. I'm going to destroy the currency. If you're doing it as a game, you're doing it for no sinister reason. So then apparently, it's like the post can discuss whether the yisur of mechikas Hashem is only usher derech hashchos or not. Some say it's only when you kavanah is lahashchis. If your kavanah is not lahashchis, so then it's okay. So it's the same problem, same kind of a thing. So Rabbi Willie was making, like I said, if in the machines you're allowed to destroy a penny, you can throw every couple of years, throw a couple of quarters, and die to cloak. Yeah, so no one's going to know. The government's not going to care. Okay, anyway, getting back to the story. So everybody agrees that Ravai applies to chutz la'aretz. The only machlekes taisus in Rabbeinu Yonah is, does it apply only to grapes, only to vineyards, or does it apply to all fruit? But now, we take it, the entire sugi now takes a totally different twist right now. Take a look at the eighth of the Rambam Kamos. Says the Rambam,
does Rabbeinu Yonah hold up the cloud that only Orla Vadai?
Yeah, the Gemara says that, yeah. So you wonder, why isn't
why
every...
Why is he limited only to the people?
Because Lechora, he holds that a suffix in halacha is not called a suffix or a chutz la'aretz. It's a different kind of a suffix. We find that's a big machlekes. We have certain kind of sfeikas in halacha. There's a suffix. We only suffix in metzias, also a suffix in halacha. So we take a look at the eighth of the Rambam Kamos. The Rambam Menuchas Bachalos Asuros by Gun Halacha Tesvav throws a curveball at us that the entire sugya changes. The Rambam wouldn't have come to any of the shiurim because, according to the Rambam's, what he's about to say, he would have said early slichas. The Svardim saying slichas since I don't know since when, but. But the Rambam writes in Perek Yud Halachat Tesvav Yirali. So whenever the Rambam introduces with those two magic words Yirali, you know two things. You know it's not a Gemara, and you know he's about to say something that everyone else argues on. When you see a Yirali, you know we're in for trouble. Yirali, she'ein din revoy nei b'chutz la'aretz. Says there's no din revoy in chutz la'aretz. He didn't say there's no revoy in apples in chutz la'aretz. He said there's no revoy in chutz la'aretz. Finished. There's no revoy in chutz la'aretz at all. Ela oichel perish shan revias b'lo pidyon klal. Shalom Omru Elha Orla. So he says, no. He says, it's not true. He said that that Ravoy does not apply in Chutzah. It's finished. End of discussion. Then the Rabbah makes reference to the other Shita, namely the Shiltas and the Taisvas. If you skip down to the second to the last line, V'horu Mitzas Ga'onim. Some of the Ga'onim, you know exactly who the Rambam was referring to, the Shiltas and that Shita. Shekerim Ravoy Levada Ponus Asab B'chutz La'aretz. V'chak Chiyam Mota Bi'achila. There are some Ga'onim who have this compromise that only Kerim Ravoy applies. We spent 3 days explaining that Shita. The Ein L'dov is a Iker, says the Rambam. It's not true. There's no truth to that Shita. It's B'chal not true. Even though that was the sheet of the Shiltas and the Taisus and the Ramban and the Ran and Rov HaRishonim, the Ram says it's not true. Bechlal, it's totally mutter. The question is, why is it totally based on what? Oil applies to chutz la'aretz. Why does Ravai apply to chutz la'aretz? What's the Ram talking about? How the Ram knows just blatant statement that Ravai doesn't apply Bechlal and chutz la'aretz? So Reb Chaim, in his Chedush Manurah, we're not going to read Reb Chaim inside, those have a lot of time over Shabbos, it's a... All the Reb Chaims are beautiful masop with vash, but this is a very, very famous Reb Chaim. So Reb Chaim on that Rambam in Perek Yud Halachat Tesvav has two biurim in Shittas at Rambam. We'll see if we can barely scratch the surface of the first one. Comes Reb Chaim and says that he thinks the answer to the Rambam, when the Rambam takes on all the other Rishayim, all the other Rishayim say Ravai basically applies, but maybe details, nuances, why not. One has to ask a question that really goes back to the ABCs of Orla Chutz La'aretz. There's a very, very strange din. All applies to chutz la'aretz. We say with a straight face, all applies to chutz la'aretz. Halach Moshe Mesinai. Didn't we stop and read the pasuk in Chumash? The pasuk says, Chisavo ala aretz v'tatim k'leitz machal. The Torah says black on white that oil applies in Eretz Yisrael. So what do you mean oil applies to chutz la'aretz? Halach Moshe Mesinai is so it says the chutz. Hopefully it doesn't make any sense. What do you mean? The Torah says one way, Tashem Chsav says one way, Tashem Apes says something legamrei different. How do we understand the nature of that din? How do we understand the nature of this Halach Moshe Sinai? So ultimately, Reb Chaim is going to develop for us a basic hakira that there are two radically different, two fundamentally different ways of understanding what is the nature of this Halach Moshe Sinai. How can it be in with a straight face we say, on the one hand, we read Parshas Kedoshim, we read that with a straight face, and then we turn around and say, the Gemara Kedoshim, by the way, Halacha was seen that all is chutz la'aretz is annoyed. I think that is even more complicated. The dinim is so different that all is chutz la'aretz, suffix is mutter. Strange that all is chutz la'aretz, no way. Suffix there is l'chumra. So we already see that there's something very, very fishy, something very, very strange about this Halacha was seen of all is chutz la'aretz. It outright contradicts what it says in Toshav Chassav, and it carries with it its brand new rules. It's a whole set of different klolim. That suffik all is chutzot is mutar min haTorah. How could that be? So that led Reb Chaim to begin to analyze what exactly is the nature of this din. What is this halach? What is this strange phenomenon called all is chutzot? Hopefully, that's Shema. Next year, we'll have to get a better understanding of what all is chutzot is and is not. And hopefully, that'll spill over to explain to us what Ravai in chutzot is or is not. But let's end that.